Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, and conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Today, I have part one of my conversation with Nate Oates, the head basketball coach at the University of Alabama. He recently wrapped up what's considered one of the nation's top recruiting classes, stoking excitement based on the positive strides the program made under his leadership last season. But in this episode, we're going to hear about Coach Oates' remarkable rise to this position, which includes over a decade as a high school basketball coach. Let's get to it. It's hard to ignore the distinctly different paths of Nate Oates and Bobby Hurley. The latter played for his legendary father, Bob Hurley Sr., leading St. Anthony and Jersey City to four consecutive state titles. Then, Bobby Hurley headed to Duke University, where he was an All-American and a two-time national champion. After a modest NBA career, Hurley became a college assistant and fast-tracked to collegiate head coach in less than 3 years. On the flip side, Nate Oates was a three-year starter at Maranatha Academy, about 58 miles west of Milwaukee. Then he played at Maranatha Baptist University, serving as a captain and an all-conference player, and he immediately transitioned to being an assistant coach there. After three seasons at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, a Division III school, Oates headed to Detroit, where he hoped to build a winner at Romulus High School. Oh, and by the way, he also taught math there. But Coach Oates developed a winning program, winning 222 games over 11 seasons and leading the program to a state title. That's where Hurley came in when he took over at the University of Buffalo and hired Oates onto his staff. Needless to say, Oates proved an asset to Hurley in the program, so much so that they promoted him after Hurley left for Arizona State University. Despite his rise to fame, Oates remains refreshingly grateful and humble, as you'll soon discover in part one of my conversation with him. Well, I am so pleased to be joined by Coach Nate Oates. Coach, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me.
Yeah, no problem. Looking forward to it, Sean.
Coach, going back in the day, what's your favorite childhood sports-related memory?
Now that I'm in college basketball and we're in March, and March Madness was supposed to have happened. It is the first year in the history of my life that it hasn't happened. I go back. I remember where I was when, it's ironic because I ended up working for Bobby Hurley, but I remember where I was when that Bobby Hurley Kentucky Duke game, Christian Laettner hits the shot, and I'm in a basement with a bunch of buddies of mine, and we're all jumping up, going crazy. I mean, I was a huge college basketball fan, so you just remember some of those biggest college basketball games and how excited you were as a fan. And now I get to participate in it, which is crazy because back then, you would have never thought that you could actually coach in it. And I've coached in four out of the last five NCAA tournaments, and it's been a lot of fun. We haven't had a Bobby Hurley or Bryce Drewshot or, I should say Christian Laettner or Bryce Drewshot like that with us, but we've had a lot of fun in those tournament games.
When you were younger, which coach encouraged and inspired you the most?
You know what? I had a college basketball coach, so I had a little bit different situation. My father's a professor at Maranatha Baptist, small liberal arts school in Wisconsin. So I went to, they had a prep school associated with the college. So I went to the high school there, Maranatha Baptist Academy. The college coach there, Jerry Terrell, was actually a super nice guy, really into basketball. I went to his camps, and he let me go to all the college practices. Matter of fact, it got to the point, I remember jumping on some of the van rides. I asked him, we got comfortable enough, like, hey, do you mind if I go to an away game on, they traveled in 15 passenger vans back then. So he used to let me, so he was real influential in my love of the game and, encouraging me to really love basketball and use it as a ministry tool. So that was younger. And then as I kind of moved up and got into coaching, I was able to take the job at Romulus High School in Metro Detroit. I used to go up to Michigan State all the time, so I never worked for Tom Izzo, and I didn't even realize it until after I got the job here at Alabama. The AD here at Alabama actually called Tom Izzo and asked him, about different candidates, and Izzo apparently helped get me the job without me even knowing, but he was always great to me, just a high school coach in the Michigan area, and always let me come to practice, sit on meetings, talk basketball with him. So he's probably had more influence on, you know, the way I coach and kind of the modern game of basketball than probably anybody.
Wow. That's incredible. He's definitely somebody that I've long admired too, just the way he leads and cares for his players.
Yeah, they all look up to him. I mean, he, obviously you can't coach as hard as he coaches without building a really good relationship with him. And I've known some of the players that played for him, and there's nothing fake about him. He's a really good coach, and there's a reason he's a really good coach. He puts the time into building those relationships.
One of my favorite things about Coach Izzo is nobody ever wants to face him in the NCAA tournament. It does not matter what the Spartans do during the regular season. Nobody wants to face them in the tournament.
No, it's true. I mean, they make runs all the time. I mean, I was working their camps during, you know, back-to-back-to-back Final Fours, and he's, I mean, just every year. I mean, even look at last year, you know, they beat Duke to go to the Final Four, and Duke was loaded. And Duke's well-coached, too. Obviously, Krzyzewski, USA national coach, but, I mean, Izzo just has a way of getting his team to peak at the right time and brings everything together there for that run in March.
We'll get back to the rest of the interview in just a minute. If you've enjoyed Winning Is Not Everything, there's a chance you'd absolutely love my new video series, Model Student Athlete. It's my passion to teach youth sports character traits to help athletes grow, not just on the field, but off the field. And this video course is just the thing to help them really level up. The 8 courses focus on different character keys like gratitude, effort, humility, and attitude. Each feature an impactful video that's roughly 15 to 20 minutes long and also comes with a lot of downloadable resources to keep the momentum going, as well as quotable memes and even a quiz to see if you've mastered becoming a model student athlete. You can get each of the 8 courses individually, or you can get a great discount plus some exclusive bonuses if you get one of the Model Student Athlete course bundles. Oh, and use the code WINNING to get an additional 40% off your purchase as a thank you to our listeners. Head to modelstudentathlete.com to get started and use the code WINNING for 40% off your purchase. Model Student Athlete, where character counts more than the score. Coach, reflecting back when you were younger, what was the most valuable lesson you learned through a challenge or defeat?
You know, I also played football in high school. In football, I was a receiver. My best friend, Luke Akins, was a quarterback. Luke blew his knee out the end of his sophomore year, and he was a really good quarterback. So we go into our junior year, and they try a few different guys at quarterback. None of them really work out. All of a sudden, Luke's dad, Coach Akins, was the head coach. Next thing you know, I'm the quarterback. So I'm not very good either, by the way, Sean. I was a much better receiver than I was a quarterback. But we had really good players all around us, you know, in high school. So we end up having a pretty good year. Our final record was 8-1. The only game we lost, it was a one possession game, and I threw a pick in the red zone, and that cost us a game. Like, so it actually tore me up quite a bit. Just, you know, as a quarterback, you pretty much let the team down when you throw an interception and the red zone cost you the game. So I remember taking it pretty hard, but you kind of got to learn from that. Like, that's what happens. Like, if you're going to play sports, like, you're going to lose some games. Like, there's not, you know, we went 8-1, but I'd much rather have lost that game than not participate in that game, you know. So there's a factor of, you know, you hate losing, but you love the participation and everything you get out of sports a lot more than not participating at all. So I did that, and so then I get into college. I remember too, there was a particular game, it was at Cardinal Stritch. I remember it. We were up. I didn't play a ton in the second half. I started the second half. Then I was a really good free throw shooter. I come in, he puts me in towards the end after I hadn't played for a while, and I get fouled, got to go to the free throw line. I went 0-2. They go down, they score, they win the game. So there's another deal where you lose, you feel like you let your team down. You know, there's not anything you can do to change the past on that stuff. The only thing you can do is get in and work get to the free throw line, shoot a bunch of free throws, try to turn yourself in. You know, you just got to move on. So then as you get older into life, you know, you face a lot bigger adversity, not winning or losing a football game or a basketball game. You get, you know, most recently here, my wife got diagnosed with double hit lymphoma just under five years ago. Like you feel big things. Well, I think you can learn from sports, and it's nothing you can do to change the diagnosis. You got to figure out what you do next. There's nothing you can do to change the fact you just missed two free throws. You got to figure out what the next step is, and, you know, kind of. So I do think sports help in that regard.
Coach, who's an unsung hero from your childhood? Someone who really was key in your development, but who's not related to you?
You know what? I remember going back to my junior high days. I had a teacher, name was Miss Westfall. Not really into sports, you know, a ton really at all, but I was a fairly good student. And I just remember her frequently quoting to me anytime she didn't think I was doing my best, to whom much is given, much shall be required. So, still hangs in my head.
I am so grateful that you tuned into this episode of Winning is Not Everything. Please make sure to like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, and share the podcast with your friends. And if you have questions for me, reach out through my website, seankjensen.com. I really want to hear from you. And while you're at it, check out Model Student Athlete and let me know what you think. Winning is not everything, but the three H's to be a real hero in life are hustle, humility, and heart. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you again next time.